to Standing in the Sunlight with Cynthia Rose. We are all on an ever-unfolding unique journey. Join Cynthia Rose as she begins her unique perspective to all that is meaningful. Topics and personalities that support your path, bringing inspiration and passion and heart-centered ways to live a more fulfilling life. A down-to-earth and uplifting sharing of what it means to be spiritual, creative, and living life to the fullest by standing in the sunlight. Born an intuitive medium, Cynthia Rose is also an ordained minister, singer, astrologer, educator, and writer. She has studied the intuitive and healing arts for over 40 years. Rise up and stand in your sunlight now with Cynthia Rose.
Well, hello, everyone. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are in the world. I'm Cynthia Rose. I'm so happy to be here with you and spend this time together. If you're listening on playback, then welcome and thank you for joining me. Today, before I talk about today, I usually give you a little way to get in touch with me. Almost forgot. So you can find me on Facebook at Cynthia Rose Medium. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. I'm not so active on those, but I'm there. You can find me. My YouTube channel, Cynthia Rose Medium. All of the Om Times radio shows, I created an Om Times playlist, so you'll be able to listen back to this or any of the other shows if you haven't heard them. So I would love it if you would subscribe to the YouTube channel. And that just is helping me to get a certain number of listeners so I can actually name my channel instead of a bunch of numbers. That being said, I also want to mention that you can call in if you like on the live only, not the playback, which is 1-202-570-7057. And I'd love to hear from you. So today, I was going to have a show on the guest, talking about what it's like to live with a disability. And unfortunately, she's not well enough to be on here today, but she did write something for me to share. So in the beginning here, I'm going to talk a little bit about living with health challenges, and then I'll share a little bit about our guest. And the first thing I wanted to talk about today was that I guess it has occurred to me, I was hearing someone speak somewhere saying, we have extremes now. We don't have this middle of the road tolerance that's really honored so much. We have extremes on social media. We have people saying yay. We have people get angry quickly and tolerance. And I thought, yeah, it's true, isn't it? We react so easily sometimes before taking a breath. I think that's so important. I would say that, I do believe in a higher power. My religion is love and compassion. Our little center here in Colorado is about honesty, integrity, love, and compassion. And so that to me is where I want to start. So, and I am speaking for somebody who has had some experience with this. And it's interesting, I did reach out to see if anybody wanted to share, because it occurred to me how this is one of those things we don't talk about. It just exists. And I'm always one to not shy away from things that could shine some light on something and talk about it. So many of us are living, I don't live in that place now, but have, so many live with invisible disabilities. And it just got me thinking, so I can remember a time when I had difficulty walking, and life was quite a struggle. And I did have a handicapped sticker for, because I couldn't carry things, I always had to get an employee to help me. So life was rough that way. And so I remember going, in one time I was quite unwell and I came out and somebody had left me some rude note because they saw me walk in the store. And so I did have a placard. That's the word I was thinking. I did have a placard. I don't have one anymore. I haven't had one for years, but at that time I did, and was very grateful. And I often didn't use it if I didn't need it, but there were times I needed it. And, you know, it was one of those things where there was a shame around it, having to have it. And I'm sure I looked too young to have it. And I've met people along the way through that have had these experiences. I knew a young lady years and years ago. You just wouldn't know to look at her, but she was in excruciating pain. She had difficulty. She was exhausted. And, I just wanted to say that there are so many people out there. And, you know, the old saying, we can't judge a book by its cover. We can't always see what's going on with everybody else. And we need more compassion. We need more love. We need more tolerance in this society. And we can start practicing that right now, in this moment, here forward, every day, just by taking a breath before we react from everything. Do you know, there are some, I've talked to a few people. I talked to a lady that has a very rare condition and is, unable to get out. And there is this, when they're out, there's things they're concerned about. For example, one of the things brought up is that you may come across somebody who says, please don't come over if I have a cold, or they could have people with immune compromised systems. And I have known people like this. I've been in that position. And you really, we really don't do the world any good by judging where somebody else is. And I also want to say, whatever struggle we're all going through, really can't judge each other's struggle. And please don't say that must be their karma, because they're living through their own difficulty just as you are. So it's just really my wish that more of us will, take a breath and have, instead of just react. And there's something about the political climate that seems to bring this out in people. And I guess I choose to not be part of that because of the way it can bleed into other parts of life. If I can make a difference in something, then speaking up for it is fine. But if speaking up for it isn't going to make a difference, that's kind of not how I roll. So I'd rather do something. Now, some people, that is their thing. They need to speak up, and I understand that. But I would really like to speak to those of you that are having a difficult time today for many different reasons. And I just wanted to broaden that idea of disability. Something that gets in the way of us doing what it is that we think we need to do or should do or supposed to do. And I know that at some level right now, we're being challenged to maybe there's an awareness being challenged about maybe fears that are coming up or concerns that are coming up. And this planetary energies right now are almost going to cause us to want to pull away from our inner self, or fog out in some way. And it's so important at this time that we pay attention to the influences that are going on. The mind may be running all kinds of fears or worries, or the mind may be simply saying, I don't want to be conscious right now, because something underneath is trying to come up. It's really important that we learn to adopt a practice of some stillness, of taking a breath. See, one leads to the other. We come from having 20 minutes a day, even, where we can just be still and sit. And then from there, we might then take a breath before we react. And that causes a chain reaction to someone else who may not react because we reacted kindly. They may react kindly. There's no guarantee here. But there is, to me, a sense of how we're all connected. And I can tell you that when I lived with difficulties, those little acts of kindness were so meaningful to me. The lady in the cafe, the taxi driver, the person in the hospital, the lady at the doctor's appointment, at the pharmacy, all of these things, all of these people had massive effects on my life. The lady that I had to call and speak with about car insurance when I could hardly concentrate. So everybody has the ability to affect everybody else in their day. No matter what you do, you affect someone else. And you make a difference just by bringing your presence, not your judgment, to other people. We're not put here to make judgments on other people, but when we find ourselves in a place of judging others, that's a call for us to maybe go back inside and say, wow, what's going on here? Why am I feeling that? If that's happening, that can be just our resistance to see what's really going on with ourselves, because sometimes it can be just too overwhelming. Now, people that live with disabilities, one of the things, or some kind of challenge that, you know, they're not, maybe they don't call it that, but they feel in some way unable to live their life freely. With people with disabilities, or we call hidden disabilities, there's often a sense of feeling isolated, separate. And if you're in that place, I do hope that you will find some practice of, in some way, of trying to work on knowing that you matter, that you're part of this big picture, and that your presence does make a difference. And although we might not see it, you know, there are people that, I know Eckhart Tolle has spoken about this, they just are space holders. They meditate a lot. They're in a place of just holding space for others. Maybe you're one of those people. Maybe that's part of what you're doing. I can't judge what your path is, but I know that your life matters. I know you're here for a reason. And I know that anything you could do to keep yourself, you know, suffering less, do it. Take care of yourself. Don't put yourself down. Please don't ever think that this is part of some kind of punishment. I know I did at some point. I thought, oh, this is so hard every day. You're not being punished, I guarantee you. But it is time to maybe write out those things you believe, because those thoughts are things. Those things are affecting your energetic auric field, which is going to have an effect upon your body. We are electrical beings. We absolutely are. Do you know, here in Colorado, it's so easy to see energy, because at night when the lights are out, all you have to do is move the covers a tiny bit and you'll see static electricity everywhere. You can get shocks pretty easy. And I have heard, I don't know, but I have heard someone told me years ago that that they found parts of Alaska were like that. So I don't know from experience, but somebody shared that with me. So there are some areas where we can actually see it, but it's not, maybe it's like that. It's, we have an energy field and there's absolutely no doubt about it. It's not like, could it be possible? It's true. There's so much testing that's gone on with this. You may not be privy to it all. It may not be publicly published, or it's published somewhere, but you don't have access to that journal. So just remember that you being here your presence here really does matter. And your experience of what you're having is your experience. And perhaps a way for you to express that may be meaningful for someone else. Because so often people that are sequestered or off, you know, on their own, spending a lot of time alone, there may be a need to somehow share a connection or share what's going on with them. And you can be an inspiration to other people just living your life day to day. I have no doubt about that. When I'm thinking of Saint Bernadette and how she lived her life. This lady really struggled. She spent most of her time praying for others, really trying to hold space for others. She did it in a way that was meaningful for her, and she did it through a religion, but she also, you know, she had a vision of Mother Mary, and no one believed her, and she held that connection with the spirit world in a time when there wasn't a lot of recognition. People thought you were crazy. You know, she was a beautiful person, and what she did mattered. But she did find peace in her life. She did have peaceful moments. I'm not going to say it was easy in the struggles she had, but I feel quite a respect for what she did with what she went through. That's the thing. How we handle it, what we're going through, that makes all the difference in the world. So when I come back, we'll just grab a glass of water, stretch your legs, come back. I'm going to share a little bit about my guest and some of what she had to see, and we'll carry on.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
Some knowledge belongs to us and us alone. The way our girlfriends walk, talk, touch their hair. Details that only a sister can know about her girls. But what about our other girls? The ones we carry with us every day. Our bond with our sister girls gives life. But knowing your breasts can save it. Go to knowyourgirls.org for the facts you need on breast health. brought to you by Susan G. Coleman and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back. So one of the things I wanted to share with you is sometimes I get a spark of, you know, this is important. And let me tell you that the way you are with people, that if you see someone maybe that clearly has a disability, it's different than if you see someone you don't know they have one. That means developing more of an attitude of compassion with everyone. And I do hope that you'll consider that everybody, you know, there's a saying, I don't know what it is, I'll make up my own, is that everybody is fighting their own battle and that we can't see it. And so perhaps it's not that we need to see everyone's battle, because if you're an empath out there, you definitely don't need to be seeing everyone's battle. Just come from a place of love and work on that mental voice, that judgment that decides if somebody's worthy or not, because we're all worthy. So I did speak to a lady, as I said, who had a disability, and she did want me to mention that blood plasma donation is actually an issue, and that she pays hundreds or $1,000 a month, over $1,000 to get blood, and so blood plasma. So if you're inclined to do any donating, check out donating blood plasma. And also, I was going to have a lady on today. Her name is Chrissy. And we actually met at the Arthur Findlay College in England. And she was part of a transmediumship group that I was in. And the thing that struck me about her is what a bright light she was. As soon as I saw her, her aura, her auric field was shining, and I thought, what a beautiful soul over there. And for a moment, I was like, okay, do I go over there and do I approach her? Not because I'm uncomfortable approaching her, but trying to be respectful of, just as I would with somebody who looks like, are they approachable? Do you know what I mean? But then I started thinking, well, I wonder how it is for other people in this sense, in approaching others. Just a little aside, when I was growing up, when I was in school for part of my schooling, we had schooling where there wasn't a separate class for kids with special needs. There was an integration. And I was at a school where they had both integration and non-integration, depending on the needs. And so, you know, I, because I was very good at certain subjects, did some peer tutoring. And I can remember my heart feeling a little broken for I think I was about 12, and I was doing some tutoring in math, I think it was. And as I was helping my peer, he had been bullied so much that he asked me, why are you helping me? He just expected me to be unkind to him. And, I remember going home and sharing this with my mother, like, you know, he kind of is reacting as if I'm going to be unkind. And my mom said, you just have to take a breath and let him relax, because he's been through so much. And he did continue to be picked on. You would see after school, you know, things, and it wasn't necessarily on the school grounds. So it was a sad thing to see. Why do people have to treat each other like that? But I'm not going to go down that road. I really want to talk about this idea that I grew up with some exposure. Some people grew up with no exposure to different kinds of people, and they could be quite uncomfortable. So when I became a mother, I didn't want my son to be uncomfortable around different kinds of people's experiences. And so we lived for a time where there was different. He was a child he played with who had a disease he was dying of. Just a beautiful little soul. Didn't live too much longer. I had a friend that I met who met in this building, this group of buildings, and he actually had been a dancer, and when I danced on the dance floor with him, people asked me where I did my training because he was such a beautiful dancer. I do have a good sense of rhythm in that, but I wasn't trained like he was, but he made me look like I was trained. It was fabulous. And the next time I saw him, I didn't see him for years. He was in a chair and we used to hang out and spend some time together. And, there was another lady, that lived in a chair who was completely like, we couldn't approach her. She was like, leave me alone. And so just like anybody else, there people with disabilities are just like anybody else. You just have to pay attention. Some people want to be approached. Some people don't. But it can be isolating for somebody that has one visually or doesn't. And so I'm happy to say my son grew up seeing people as people. And so that was a good experience. We had a talk about that recently, and I was glad for that. So back to the story. I was at AFC, and so I saw this lovely lady, and she speaks through a computer, and it goes on a screen, and then the voice speaks. I don't know exactly how all of it works, but some of the words she shared with us was just beautiful and profound. And I felt very grateful that she was sharing with us. So I was going to have her on the show to talk about her experience. I had no idea what was going on with her other than she had to do this. And so I'm going to read you something. So she said she's excited to speak with me again. She was overwhelmed by the way, I'm going to read in her voice. I was very overwhelmed by the way everyone who I met at AFSA treated me with such warmth and laughter. And, you know, it occurred to me that that's a group of people who know that we are a spirit within a body first. That, yes, we have a body, but we're a spirit that will continue. Consciousness continues. And it was so wonderful to see those of us going up and chatting with her. She was one of the group. There was no sense of you're over there, which I have seen, which is quite sad. And that to me is fear. And my hope for the show was to take away some of that fear, to realize that everybody matters. You know, there may be somebody who's blind and they can't see you. Maybe go up and say hello to them. You know, like just remember, connect with your fellow human being. Spread the love. Okay, she says, I have been mediumistic from a very young age. My earliest memory of spirit at the age of 3 was in the garden playing when I suddenly bumped into a gentleman with his dog. I remember being angry with the man who had so rudely intruded my garden. Scowling up at him, he smiled down at me. I later found out that my father had been watching me from the kitchen window. He said he saw me bump into nothing and that I proceeded to talk to thin air. He asked me to describe what had happened. I described the man and his dog. My father was amazed to hear a description of his father and family dog, especially as my grandfather Bassett died in 1962. From then, I'm thinking that's before she was born, so from then onwards, I and my family knew I had the gift. Not surprisingly, there were many times during my teenage years and younger adulthood where I wished I hadn't and literally turned my back on spirit. But of course, spirit had other plans. Wherever I am in the world, I always seem to meet someone who needs a medium. Anyway, I was diagnosed with motor neuron disease, or ALS, just over 3 years ago. I had been noticing symptoms for a while, and to be honest, I thought I was going crazy. I would fall over my own feet, slur my words as if I was drunk, and drop things. It took a lot of persuading my doctor that something was physically wrong, that I wasn't imagining it. After a series of unpleasant tests, I was told I had the worst form of a terminal disease with no cure. I was 38 years old. I was not surprised, however. I had been Googling my symptoms on the computer. Stupid thing to do. I know I wanted answers, and my grandfather yet again appeared and told me I had motor neuron disease. Needless to say, I didn't tell the doctor I already knew. They would have immediately sent me straight to the psychiatric ward. And isn't that sad that we can't say what's really going on? We did have a doctor on here talking about this. If we were more open as a society, then we could separate true connection with the spirit world or a connection that is just someone stuck in their own mind or having an issue with that's not based in reality. And I say reality because spirit is reality, but there are also people that are not in reality that are having difficulties, delusions. So if it was more open, a doctor could maybe help a person. So that's kind of sad. I remember feeling the same way. My husband was very shocked and cried for days. Yet I didn't feel that bad, mostly I think because it hadn't fully sunk in. I decided from that very moment the illness was not going to define who I was. So important. Chrissy's done such a beautiful thing here. I am not my illness. No, she is not. She's a beautiful, brilliant human being. And so is her husband, a beautiful soul. And when I say this is a difficult thing for somebody to go through, but also difficult for the loved ones watching, let us not forget that. I know that my husband went through some really tough times seeing what I went through. And I asked Spirit to give me an understanding of what he'd been through. And you know, one morning I woke up and I was having these feelings coming over me that were so powerful. And later in the day, I asked him and described what I was feeling and said, "Is that how it felt for you?" And he said, "Yes, absolutely." So I was grateful to see and understand, because we can't always see another's point of view when we're going through such a difficult time. And if you are someone who cares for someone, remember that a lot of what they're doing may not be personal. They're just trying to cope as you are from their point of view. So she was not going to define who she was. Besides, I had a 7-year-old daughter and husband who needed me. Beautiful, beautiful. 3 years later, life has changed a lot for all of us. In Sweden, I am so lucky to have assistants who are paid by the government so I can stay at home with my family, 4 cats, and a hamster. And so, yes, she's in Sweden. And yes, lucky that the government is helping and taking care of their people. It took some getting used to, as a personal privacy is a thing of the past. But I'm truly blessed to have a fantastic team of assistants. There is no nobler profession than helping another. Yes, well, my opinion anyway. And I want to say, those of you that do help people and look after people, they'll remember that even when they pass on. They will be so grateful. You're helping another human being who's having an experience. So, so very important. I am sure most of your listeners know what ALS is, but if you don't, I'm going to quickly explain. Basically, the neurons in your brain that send electrical message via your nerves, which in turn move your muscles, start dying. So you gradually lose the ability to move, talk, eat, and finally your breath becomes weak. I'm not being very scientific, but that's the basics. Everyone with the disease is affected differently, but most people have complete control of their minds. And you may be paralyzed, but you can still feel everything. The most famous person with ALS was Professor Stephen Hawking, who had a very rare, slow form of the illness. Unfortunately, that is all I have in common with this amazing man. I'm not very scientific. That's an understatement. And so I did ask her some questions, and I let her just say whatever she wanted to share. So I really didn't say, please share your illness. I really just said anything you want to share so she could tell her story. So I did mention to her, though, that I've noticed, and from experience, that people sometimes ignore others in a wheelchair, and I wondered what her experience was. I can remember, of all places, being in the Vatican, in the Sistine Chapel, trying to see things, and people walked in front of me as if I didn't exist. They rush in front of you at lines. You're non-human, and I decided when I was in a chair for a time that I wasn't going to let it make me shut down. So I tried to smile at people and say hi to people. I didn't have what's going on with Christy. And this was really difficult because people wouldn't meet my gaze. So when we come back, I'll finish that sentence.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos. A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back, and I was just in the middle of talking about sometimes people in wheelchairs are ignored or, you know, I would say some people are afraid and they're defining themselves maybe as body. And we've got to remember that everybody is having an experience in this life, however that experience is. Do you know, I really feel when I have done some singing, I used to do some singing telegrams and every now and then, and I did one on Valentine's Day for a man and went there and sang for him. And I just feel what a gift it is to share. And there is a communication happening between you and someone that is beyond words. So even if somebody can't answer back to you, just remember that your presence and their presence, you can say hello to them from your spirit. Even if you don't know anything about spirit that way, you have one. So you can say hello to someone, and in your smile, in your anything you do, you can actually be witness to them as a spirit in their life. Everybody's having an experience. So she says, yes, I have noticed that people treat you differently when you're in a wheelchair. As I can't really talk anymore, I might come across as mentally disabled, and that can make some people uncomfortable. It has been a learning process for me not to worry about what others think of me. It hasn't been easy, but I've been pleasantly surprised at how people often react in a positive way, especially if I smile. Tiny children are hilarious. They aren't inhibited in any way. And I've had some of the best conversations with little children who wonder about the funny lady in the big pram. You know, and that is beautiful. So, you know, somebody that maybe a loved one that cares for somebody that cannot communicate, they may know signs or symbols, or they can tell things that maybe we can't. But I remember singing to a young man who was, you know, not supposed to live very old, and I sang to him, and he just kept making a sound, and he couldn't move very much. But his mother and sister told me that by what he was doing, that it was really meaningful for him, and the tears were rolling down their eyes. It was meaningful for me. I felt the presence of his spirit. You know, one of the things I wanted to say about that is that it's interesting to me as a medium when I have brought through loved ones who have had some kind of disability, that sometimes I'll take on a physical, you know, attribute of how they were. And other times they just want to show me how they're not that way. And I think that has something to do with maybe the loved one in front of me that needs to know something, or what they're trying to say, or what they're trying to communicate. But I know that everybody, when they pass into the spirit world, if they couldn't walk, they can walk now. I know all of these problems are gone because I've had that message come through. I've had people show me that. But I've also had people share the difficulties they had on this side. And I think that probably can be helpful for the loved one. It's really identifying them. It's not who they are anymore. So that's been such a joyous and beautiful feeling that flows through me when they share that. So she says, sure, I have met some unpleasant people. Insecure teenagers can be especially rude. I completely understand them. I remember being a teenager. What a mess, full of hormones, self-doubt, and absolutely everything is extremely embarrassing. I don't blame them. A lot of people who have not previously interacted with a disabled person are often unsure how to react. Exactly my point is that this needs to be talked about. This needs to be not something we just don't talk about. Let's talk about those things we don't talk about. It's not their fault. I think it's important to say that all disabled people are human beings with feelings and should be treated like any other person. All disabilities are different, some more apparent than others. If you simply smile or just carry on with your own business, that is fine. And I have no problem if people want to chat to me. So if you just think about that, you know, that could be somebody, there could be somebody who does or doesn't want to chat that doesn't have a disability, but don't shut them out because they do. Push past your fears. Reaching out to someone might make their day. I know it has to me, and I know it has to other people. Basically, we are all different, and the important thing is to be true to yourself. Try to see things from different perspectives. And I want to say that's very wise, Chrissy, seeing things from different perspectives. I think that's what's so needed right now in this time. We're not going to connect with somebody if we're come at them from a place of pity, because we're actually not seeing the brilliance of their beautiful spirit. If we're somehow, pity suggests that we think that we're somehow better off than them. And we don't know any of this, do we? We're really all just having an experience. Can we come from a loving place? And I can tell you that when I had somebody that treated me with pity, it was never a good feeling. I understood it was their fear that they sort of went to that. But empathy, coming from an empathetic place, is a much more loving, connected place. You can connect with someone who empathizes with you. But energetically pitying someone is almost like saying they don't matter, and they do, and everyone matters. So, you know, and I don't think we're taught this stuff enough. I don't think it's spoken about. And I wish it was just part of schooling and everyday things all the time, and parents learned it and kids learned it and it was passed on. That's my hope. So basically, she says, we are all different, and the important thing is to be true to yourself and try to see things from different perspectives. I had to read that again. I get my strength from my family, especially my daughter, who is my reason for waking up every day. I have learned to appreciate the small things I used to take for granted. The smell of my daughter's hair. The sound of an owl in the night. My husband, when he smiles with his eyes. I am also extremely stubborn. Just ask anyone who knows me. This was a problem before, but now it is an asset. It's pure hell sometimes, and I am no saint. I have cursed spirit many times for everything, but they always send me love and healing in return. I'm connected through love to my family, friends, and the world. It's so important that we take in that love. And, you know, if you live with a difficult situation, it's okay. If we're angry, it's okay. If we get frustrated, gosh, I did too. I did the best I could. Those were some, you know, I'm grateful, so grateful for my healing that I've had. But I did come to a place of thinking although I really believed I would heal. It took so many years. I just had to get to a place of acceptance. Well, this is it. When we found ourselves in Rome and I had to not go to some things, and if I went, it had to be in a chair. It got my husband. He was down. He was depressed. And I said to him, heck, I'm not going to be depressed. I'm going to have an experience here. I'm going to choose to enjoy. And there we were, right up in front of the Mona Lisa, and the person, the attendant there, brought me right up because everybody kept rushing and rushing and I couldn't see it. And he said, everybody get back, and brought me up. That person affected me. I got to see something magnificent that, you know, I was surprised how small it was and all that. But I mean, I got to have experiences and I became grateful for every little thing. So she says, I get so angry with people who are in positions of power, who only help themselves and are so short-sighted and ignorant, they can't see they're ruining this wonderful world we live in. And I'm unable to send them love. So I must have faith in karma. I said I was no saint. I have a personal philosophy. Please pardon my language. Please do no harm, but take no shit. A black sense of humor is also a good thing to have in my situation. I truly believe that I'm here for a reason, as indeed we are all of us. My message, she says, is not very profound. I don't know. Try to do your best. Don't beat yourself up. You're only human. Smile. Be kind without being a victim. Work hard. Play hard. Enjoy life. Have adventures. Love. Unconditional love, in the end, is all that matters. Love, Chrissy Bassett. And thank you so much, Chrissy, for sharing your experiences and your thoughts and your time. It is such a privilege to know you. And I want to say, I don't know, I think that is, doesn't, profound what is profound, you know? Try to do your best. Yes. Don't beat yourself up. Yes, we could all be kinder to ourselves, right? You're only human. Smile. And do you know what I say? Fake it till you make it. Smiling actually creates some endorphins in your body. If you're sad, yeah, you can be honest that you're sad. But, you know, sometimes putting a smile on your face, releasing endorphins, it can actually help. And next thing you know, your mood has changed and you don't remember how. Be kind without being a victim. I tried very much to always take responsibility for where I was at and not have someone see me as a victim. And you realize that when people are judging you in a situation, it's because they judge themselves so harshly. So we need less judgment, more love. Work hard, play hard, enjoy life, have adventures, love, 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 unconditional love. That's all that matters. And I completely agree with Chrissy. I think those are wise words because in the end, we're all having that unique experience that nobody else is having. It's our experience. And I think we take those experiences with us. Do you know, I think we learn what we learn as spirit, we take with us. I just wanted to mention something else. Thank you so much, Chrissy. Is that there's a lady named Carrie Ann Lucas who died at the age of 47. She was a disability rights advocate. Carrie Ann Lucas died February 24th, 2019. She's not a celebrity, so, you know, there's not a lot of things all about her. She had disabilities. She died, they say, because, according to this, on her Facebook page, died after an arbitrary denial from an insurance company caused a plethora of health problems, exacerbating her disabilities and eventually leading to her premature death. She lived with a rare form of muscular dystrophy, which slowly progressed, and she became reliant on a power wheelchair and ventilator during the last years of her life. She also had diabetes, hearing, and vision difficulties. So she was denied some treatment from a company. And so that's, we haven't heard about her, but someone brought her name to my attention. I wanted to honor her. It's sometimes we need to speak up for the voiceless. And remember, there are no acts of kindness and caring that are too small. They all matter. you have no idea how you might be affecting or changing somebody's life. It matters. Really, you matter. Whether you have a disability, visual or invisible, or you're just sharing your time with someone who does. And next week, we're actually going to talk about pet allergies with Dr. Kosa. I think I've said the name right. So we're going to talk more about love, our pets that we love so much. And I hope that this has made you think in some way, made you care more, maybe be kinder to yourself, kinder to others. I hope in some little way. I'd love to hear from you. Find me on Facebook or YouTube. Please stay in touch. I'm at cynthiarosemedium.com. I'll be up in Bellingham, Washington, the end of this month, doing a demonstration of mediumship. So I'd love to see you there. I'll be up in Vancouver, BC, teaching and demonstrating. So find out more at my website if I can help you in any way. God bless. Much love. We'll see you next week.